You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hen.
Everybody needs some Hen love.
And Hotbox.
Ultaholic, wow, extraordinaire.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 33 of The Training Dummies, recorded for your ears on February 28th, 2013. My name is Rob. I play a lot of tunes. I don't even know what to say there anymore.
What's the new total?
This week, number 10.
Wow.
It's official.
Yeah.
I still have two to go. Well, we'll get into that in a minute. Jeez, man, it's ridiculous. With me tonight, all the way from the frozen depths of Northern Canada, is Daryl, the Resto Shaman Fantastic, named Hind. And this week we also have a very, very, very awesome special guest. Saz will be joining us, and we will be discussing some really awesome soloing content. But before we get into that, Mr. Hind, how has your week been going?
It's been going pretty good. I've been kind of focusing on my Warlock still. It's still a blast. I think I've got half a level before I can hit Cataclysm content. So we're getting there. It's definitely the fastest I've ever leveled a character, but I do have all five of the heirloom pieces that give XP, so that's kind of nice. I'm expecting it to slow down a little bit once I get into the Cataclysm content. I don't think they've quite nerfed that as much as everything else.
It'll actually pick up, to be honest with you.
Oh, really? Wow.
You get through 81 and 82, like, mega fast. The only thing that drags is, like, Oldham, but the rest of it, you'll be really surprised.
Wow. I did some LFR with you last night, and I still don't have my mace, unfortunately. I think I did Terrace on Saturday, and I think I got my third staff, though, which I refuse to wear because it does not match my transmog, so I don't want it. Terrible, terrible.
You've had the gym since when?
December 8th.
Gosh, dude.
I know. Terrible. What else? I guess we tried to raid on Friday. It didn't go so well. We had some people out again and picked up a couple rookies in their place. So it was a struggle again. But that's just because we've got new people who don't raid at all or who have never raided before in this. I don't even know if they've done LFR yet. So
yeah. Uh-huh.
So hopefully we'll have more of our team back this week and even next week. With the patch probably coming on Tuesday. Anyway, I think that's what everyone's expecting. So, in the new raid. So, hopefully, we'll start getting the team starting to gel. Because we've had none of that for this tier. Yeah, that's about it. What have you been up to, Rob?
Well, like I said, number 10. it's in the bag. Now, I am not by any stretch of the imagination gearing these guys out. I am I'm doing Shaw for the boots. I'm running some heroics and getting whatever. And anything that I can make, any craftable stuff that I can do for myself, which is a good chunk of stuff. I can do the chest and the gloves for most of my guys, the 476 stuff. So they're all there, you know. They're ready to go. They're in case I change my mind or decide I want to go focus on something else for a little bit, but I've got my mage and my rogue left, and I'm not really looking forward to either one of those right now. They're both about halfway through 86, just chilling, and I don't know. Went into LFR with you last night on my death night.
Yep.
That was kind of spawned by our raid night the other night. We needed me to tank, and I decided to go ahead and bring Hotbox in there, and I realized his gear level was kind of low. I think it was like 461, but I did fine tanking for our run, but we just didn't have all the other pieces together.
No. Yeah.
But what that did was make really kind of like, I was like, oh man, I forgot Death Knight tanking. This is great. So I hadn't taken him through LFR really, and I actually haven't really tanked LFR at all this tier. I've been kind of just goofing off every other which way. So tanked it all the way through Terrace. Was able to pick up a couple of pieces in Mogoshan Vaults, get my item level up, and went all the way through Terrace. And let's see, Shaw gave me my gloves at the Shaw of Anger, the world boss. Shaw gave me my gloves, and then the last two in Terrace gave me my shoulders and my helmet. So just like that, boom, he's 470 something and having fun with it, man. It's pretty good stuff. So. Right, I have to brush him, bring him around a little more again. He's a good guy. I like him. He's a cool guy. So, Miss Saz, we are honored to have you on the show tonight. What have you been up to in and out of Warcraft this week?
Oh, man. It's been a busy week. I'll be quite honest. Out of game. Been a bit of a couch potato. Been kind of a book nerd. Fairly typical for me. But in game, been pretty busy. I finally got my hunter up to level 90. It's my number 6 in my arsenal.
Yes. Nice.
And I've been, of course, you know, working on getting her all transmogged out. I'm missing one piece yet from Black Temple that I'm still waiting on. Otherwise, she's pretty much set. Also been doing the solo thing. I've been trying to get my legendary bow on my hunter now that I'm level 90. Been trying to get ashes to drop off Kael'thas. Still no dice. 140 some odd kills later.
Wow.
Still working on it. I'm up to 80 some odd kills on Onyxia as well. Still no mount there. Of course, last week, I believe, was the last week for Love is in the Air. I was trying for the rockets. By the last week or so, I was running that 6 times daily as well. No luck.
Yep.
So there's been that. I've also been last Friday with Twitter Land Raiding. If you guys haven't heard of that, that's my cross-realm site that I've been running for the past 13 months or so now. We went in with a bunch of level 80s and got Herald of the Titan titles. Nice. Oh, for several people.
No, that's your site?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I did not realize that was actually yours. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, we took a crew in there. We got some Herald of the Titan titles out again, which was, it's always fun to do that. You know, it took quite a few pulls, but we finally got it for everybody. I love doing that. My mage is like permalocked at 80 for eternity now just to do those runs.
Oh, cool.
So we knocked that out. We went back into Ulduar on Monday. We went in on 25 so that a couple of people could get some more gear on their Herald tunes that they're keeping locked. And I finally got Valineer on my Shaman after, I don't know, I've been collecting parts for the past year or so anytime Twitter Land Raiding goes in and I'm raid leading, I've been taking up the shards. So that was pretty exciting. Got my last shard on General.
Congratulations. Yeah, cool. That's awesome.
Thank you. Like, I was so excited because I got my last shard off a general so I could actually chuck the mace into the ball of jelly that night. So I was so stoked. I'm still just absolutely over the moon about that.
Oh, that was way, way cool. I know people work for years on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got ridiculously lucky. I think I got 3 or 4 fragments. Yeah, I got my last 3 fragments that night. 4th fragment went to another guy who's been collecting outside of the group, so hopefully we can get him Ms. Mace, and somebody else has been working on Mace, so hopefully over the next couple of months we can get theirs out too. And in between all that, I've been poking around on PTR a bit. You guys have had, well, Martin on the show before, Joe. He's been working on his rare guide, so I've been the muscle behind that, helping him out with those group rares.
Awesome.
So that's been a ton of fun, and of course I've been poking around with the enhancement shaman changes and the gear sets over there, so that's pretty exciting too. So I've been pretty busy this week, and that's pretty much it.
Awesome, man. That is, I mean, you're definitely busy. That's super cool.
Yeah, definitely. Now we had to we had actually talked before we started recording that we'd do a little mini interview, but apparently Rob forgot. So we'll do that now.
That's what we're there, man. We're doing it.
All right. Sounds all good. So you mentioned Shaman. That is your main class, yes?
It is my main class. I've been playing Enhancement for many, many years. When I first started playing WoW, I actually started up Horde side. I wanted to be that sexy undead rogue thing. Unfortunately, I was terrible at rogue, so I started poking around with both Shaman and, at the time, Warlock. Both those classes kind of grabbed my attention, and I kind of really, really dug Shaman. I don't know how I did, because I went back to the Shaman years later and realized that her gear was just absolutely horrible. I have no idea how she made it to the crossroads. But I abandoned her at some point and picked a Warlock, and I really loved my Warlock. Like, I was so proud of her. I got her into her mid-20s. You know, I was doing good. You know, the typical noob thing back in the day. And somebody was like, hey, you should come play Shaman, or you should come play WoW with us over on Alliance on this server. I was like, dude, seriously, Alliance? They have gnomes. What are you talking about? He's like, no, you should come over and play with us. So I was like, all right. So I'm looking at the, of course, character creation screen, and I'm just going, man, you can only be a human or a gnome as a Warlock. Humans just, they look so dumpy, you know? And yeah. Gnomes. No, yeah. No, not a gnome. So I'm like, well, crap, what am I going to play? I can't be a Warlock. So I'm like, ooh, Shaman. I could be a Draenei. They're kind of cool looking. So I rolled up Saz, and that was sometime in BC. And I leveled up as Enhance. I was that noob who leveled with the shield, who had spirit gear, strength gear, you know, the multi-tiered specializations. You know, I was that hybrid, what's going on with right. this person. You know, and I leveled up, and it was intended that I was going to be the new guild that we created. I was going to be one of the healers. They decided that I was so bad that I got to stay in hands.
That's awesome.
Oh, no.
That's great.
And it was an experience and a half, let me tell you, because I was, you know, of course, at the time, if you had a string of Wind Fury crits, your threat was just over.
Right, right.
Whatever. You know, even with our little, what was it, Grace of Air or something totem. Tranquil Air.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that one.
Even with that, you know, I couldn't keep my threat down. And, of course, this just led to me being essentially part of the ground on every fight ever. died to trash in Karazhan. And, of course, you know, I'd have to run back or they'd forget to res me. And I'm getting lost in this big castle. Guys, I don't know what's going on. And, of course, you know, I ended Burning Crusade as a two-hander enhancement. Like, I had the Hammer of the Naru, and I had that darn hammer until we started raiding Nax in Wrath. So, you know, I've been that noob enhancement shaman. I've been here for quite a few years now. So,
then you started in Burning Crusade then?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
That's when I first seriously started dedicating myself to a character. That's when I first actually started, you know, dipping my toes into the raiding atmospheres.
Right, so. Right on.
What is your favorite raid that you've done?
That's a tough call. Because, I mean, Kara, of course, will always have that special place in my heart, being that big, frustrating maze that I was first introduced into raiding to. Of course, Ulduar 2, I was that epically iconic raid.
Yeah.
That you can't shake. I mean, I have such a love for Ulduar. And I didn't even really get to see the later fights until sometime in ICC. I was in one little bit slower progression guild. So, you know, we were trying to do Elgalon in ICC gear and still wiping. So I have a big respect for the difficulty of that fight. And, of course, for Yogg and for half those fights in there that are just, you know, you can't shake them. So
isn't it weird to look at it now and like the way that people run just blaze through it now, just to think like how difficult that was, and
the funny thing is, some of those fights can still be difficult. I mean, with Twitterland raiding, we've been doing 25-man World War II gear out the Twinks, you know, easy access to 226 gear. And generally, there's only been two, maybe three of us 90s in there and a bunch of level 80s. So, you know, while yes, like the first half of the place is pretty easy for two of us to blaze through, you hit roadblocks like general that, where, you know, I've been essentially duoing with a level 90 paladin and he doesn't have any mana return on that fight. So he can't interrupt. He can't really, you know, pull threats if he needs to. If I gank threat off of him, he can't redirect it to himself, whether he's ret or prot. So that proved to be kind of an issue. And of course, me as Enhance, I've got unlimited resource. You know, I have mana regen no matter what. So I have to take over healing. I have to sometimes even take over tanking. I have to do, you know, all the interrupts. But my interrupt has been, you know, since Cataclysm, they introduce a longer cooldown on our interrupt. So I can only get like every third interrupt, which is just killing our level 80s. And it can be absolutely chaotic. And I will tell you, Yogg-Saron, with, you know, even with all four keepers down, can still be somewhat problematic with only two level 90s. You know, even with three or four or five level 90s, it can be a little chaotic if you are unable to get those tentacles down fast enough. Like, you can get into the brain room once, maybe, but, you know, good luck if you come out of that and you got to go in the brain room again, because you're just going to get perma-stunned by tentacles.
Yeah.
And of course, and if you bring a warrior along, if you bring a warrior along, good luck on that wipe too. second wind, good stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean, if one of those dudes gets mind controlled, you're screwed.
Well, yeah. Well, it's not even so much the mind control too. It's just, again, the tentacle can grab a warrior and it can't kill him. I mean, just there is no wiping unless, you know, they force
themselves out. Oh, because it's not doing enough damage. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jeez, second wind completely negates all the tentacle damage that's going on. So even if they're insane, they can't die. It's just absolutely insane.
Oh,
so
that's ridiculous.
It still has its complications.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't even think about that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, mechanics can still get you even with a powerhouse group. So. Yeah, it's good stuff.
What's your favorite mount?
Oh, how can you make me pick that? I'm a mount collector.
Well, with the content or with the topic today about getting into some soloing stuff, I figured you might have one that you've worked extra hard for. I'm not going to tell you how hard I worked to get Onyxia's mount, but
yeah, both Ashes and Onyxia's mount are both very, very high on my priority list. Ashes even more so, because I have wanted that since I was a noob back in BC. I saw one of those fly through Shattrath one day, and I was like, what was that?
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I hustled over to Thoughtbot and found out what it was, and of course, you know, I found out the story behind it, and I absolutely fell in love. I've wanted this thing forever. So I've been chasing that for about a year, year and a half now. Started out duoing it with somebody back in later Cataclysm, when it really wasn't very viable to solo it as enhancement. Yeah. Just good luck with that RNG. And then I've been soloing it since I hit level 90, essentially. And of course, I've been hitting it with all my alts. You know, like I said, 140 some odd kills so far, no dice. You know, I've known people going the first go and get it, and I'm like, oh, you suck.
Yeah. Yep, Hoofit, our GM, everybody knows Hoofit. He got it last week or the week before, so he's been rolling that thing around. He's all excited about that.
Oh, but I don't blame him.
Yeah, but he's been in there a lot, too. Like, he found someone to go with him, and all through Cataclysm, I think I don't know if he went right from the beginning, but he did a lot in Cataclysm going for that mount. And then in Mist as well, he's been soloing it. So he's worked for it. He's been in there a lot. So it's good to see that he got it, definitely.
I'll have to go grab that one.
Well, you know, if you ever need a soloing guide, I got one of those.
You know what? Sounds good.
All right. Are we done with the interview then? Carry on. You have another question, Rob? Are you good?
Oh, I could go on forever, but I think we have some really good content coming up, so I don't want to make you guys wait anymore.
All right, let's get this going then.
Deep Run Tram, last call for mail.
All right, we had a couple of questions come through on Twitter. The first one was from Alderic1022, and he asked, what does it take to tank in Mists? I used to tank in Wrath, Healed in Kata, and Quested to 90, Lorehound that I am. Rob, I'm going to let you take this one since you're all gung-ho on tanking on your Death Knight right now.
You know what? I'm tanking on about everything. Not my warrior too much, but I'm tanking on my Death Knight. I'm tanking on my second monk. I'm tanking on my paladin, who was my 90 this week. Tanked all the way up through and been tanked with her. And I have been tanking on the druid. Because I made that BOA staff that you can make through inscription. It's a 476 staff. So I kind of passed that back and forth between my monk and my druid. So there's been a lot of tanking going on, actually. The biggest thing that there was actually a big change towards the second half or the later end of Cataclysm where they upped Vengeance significantly, and it made it a lot easier for tanks to hold threat. And right now I think the state of tanking in Mists, the big focus is a active mitigation, I guess. They took kind of the Death Knight model of you needing to be a little more proactive. You needing to watch your defensive cooldowns and things that you can do to be more survivable. But other than that, I'd say tanking's in a pretty good place. You know, I think it's pretty easy if you know how to play your class, you know, as long as you know what to use and when. And the big thing is going to apply to any role that you play is knowing the fights. If you know the fights, and if you're in the if you're in a pug, you know, if you can give people some quick direction, it's really not that bad. I would say if you have some friends to go and do it with, that's the best thing to do, because it can be a little more forgiving and you can have some fun with maybe not getting trolled quite as much. But tanking's in a really good place. I think it's great. It's fun. I finally just got over it and went and tanked that LFR, and I had a really good time doing that despite being a little nervous about it. I didn't know any of the fights other than from a healer perspective, because that's all I've been doing, really. But yeah, it's been great fun. I would say just go ahead and do it, you know. Get some Real Ed A friends or some other folks in there, and just, like I said, make sure you know what to do. Make sure you study up or you understand the fights and you know how to play your class, and you should be good to go. I don't think there's anything really right now that would hinder it. This is a great time to get in. Gear's easy to get. You know, it's free valor points. We're kind of at the end of this patch, so yeah, go for it.
Saz, you want to read this next question we got?
Sure. This one sent in by Chidler is how I'm going to take a stab at the pronunciation. Sorry if I mutilated it. All right. Yes. If I stop playing WoW early 5.0, what's the best way to prepare for 5.2? I'm level capped and have some rep. Now, couple of different ways you can go about this. You can, of course, as you said, you've got some reps. So of course, if you got the valor points behind it, you can start, you know, filling in where you might have some greens or something like that. So if you've got what we'd consider a fresh 90, you know, it's got greens, it's got some non-heroic 5-man blues, you know, you can start filling in the gaps with some quick VP gear. Of course, hit up Shaw of Anger for your free boots. You've got a good shot at some tier if you've been doing your dailies and you've got the lesser Charms of Good Fortune. You can go turn those in, get three Elder Charms of Good Fortune, which are bonus rolls, and you can use this on Shaw. You can use this if you happen to actually get in on a galleon kill. If you're so lucky to do that, you can get some free gear that way, or a chance at a mount even. Both Shaw of Anger and Galleon both drop mounts, so.
Oh, do they? Cool.
Just throwing that out there. Yeah. Super, super, super rare, but they do.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen either one of them yet.
Yeah, I haven't either, unfortunately. And then, of course, there's craftables. If you haven't hit up any of those yet, some of them are still quite pricey, but there are both the standard Is it 476 crafteds? Plus, there are also the 496 crafteds, which are recipes out of the raids themselves. You can always hit those up if you got bigger pockets. And, of course, hit up your LFRs. Hit up those 5-mans if you haven't done so already. Because the new 5.2 raid finders are going to have a fairly high eye level requirements. I know it's 470 currently to get into the Heart of Fear and Terrace stuff. I can't remember the exact eye level requirement for the new ones coming out, but it is pretty high.
480.
It's 480, I think.
40?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's 480.
So you'll definitely want to try to get as much gear on you as possible to be able to access those raids if you're the LFR type. Of course, you can always try to game LFR a little bit by having unequipped BOEs in your bags, extra trinkets too. Like my druid, I had to kind of patch her up quite a bit because I was getting no love out of the MSV LFR. So I had two of the Darkmoon Fairy trinkets. I have the one that I use all the time, which is the DPS one. Then I've also got the tanking one chilling in my bags. I had BOE gloves chilling in my bags, which I didn't actually equip, which was a good thing because as soon as I did get into Heart of Fear, I got gloves to drop. I got to hand those back to my monk buddy who actually crafted them so I could actually specifically get in there. So he got new gloves. Awesome. So that was great. So if you can do a little bit of workarounds with that, you know, even like right now, I'm kind of gimping my hunter along by I keep getting resto shaman gear for whatever reason, but I've got that sitting in my bags, and that's actually boosting my eye level too since I can equip that. So there are ways to work around to try to get yourself some better gear, like I said, out of Heart of Fear or Terrace if you need that. So just look at what's available, check out different blogs or different sites for your particular class. Often these guys have gear lists set up for you, where everything drops, what may or may not be better one item over the other. So definitely check out your resources, what you have available to you, and you should be okay come 5-2.
Also, I'd suggest doing the PvP dailies, like the Dominance Offensive and what is it, Operation Shield Wall. Mm-hmm. Those ones, the gear that you can get from Valor for those is 496. And once 5.2 drops, they're reducing the cost of Valor to purchase those items. So if you can get in there and get as much rep with that as you can, and as much Valor as you can, you know, without capping your Valor at 3,000, if you're below that, I'd even suggest just holding on to your Valor until 5.2 hits so you can get the most bang for your buck and get those 496 epics, which is, you know, really nice boost to your item level to get you even closer to that 480 to get into the new LFRs.
Mm-hmm. I think the folks down there have you can get rings and boots at Friendly, is it?
Rings you can get at either Friendly or Honored, and then I don't remember where the boots are, but there's also belts from them, if I'm recalling.
Belts and trinkets.
Properly.
And the trinkets are huge because those are hard slots to fill, and mm-hmm. if you you know, when they reduce that cost, those are going to be what, like 900 Valor a piece for those, and they're really mm-hmm. really good trinkets. So start saving up your Valor, and then as soon as 5.2 hits, you can buy several pieces real quick, and you'll be up.
Make that wish list of gear and which factions give you what, and it's where those gear lists come in really, really handy because you can just pick what you want right off there and what you need to fill in yet. So
they're supposed to be increasing the drop rate of gear through LFR as well. So they're really, really wanting people to be geared up and wanting people to move on to the 5.2 content. So if you're wanting to do it, it's gonna be very feasible. Mr. Hand, I think we got one more question here.
Yeah, we do, but I was waiting for you to answer. Read it, because it's in red, but I guess I'll take it.
Oh, dude, no. Red. It's red, that's right. Ignore the guy in the corner who has no idea what class he's playing this week. This one's from LMRE. We love LMRE. That guy contributes almost every single week. He's a super cool guy. He says, do you guys use any class-specific add-ons? any general hints or tips for players that want to improve their throughput? And this is where I was going to say, Hind, what do you think about this question?
Well, as for class-specific add-ons, I don't think I use any at the moment. Like, I have for my shaman, I have totem timers, but I don't even really use it anymore. Like, it sits off in the corner, and I never look at it anymore. I used to use it all the time when we'd have, you know, you could drop four totems at once, and you want to know the cooldown on each one. But now, I don't even use it.
I actually did not pick up totem timers until this expansion, and I absolutely cannot live without it.
Really?
Because so many of our totems are now cooldown-based, and I can't always, you know, look down at my bars to see, you know, whatever. I think it's Omni CC that tells me on the buttons themselves the cooldown is. Yeah. I can't always look down that far. So I actually have totem timers right above where my unit frame is. So I can actually specifically see, oh, I've only got, you know, 3 seconds left on, you know, Searing Totem, or I've got, you know, 20 seconds left until my fire elemental is ready to come up, or if I'm restoration, you know, oh, I've got this much time until mana tide or healing tide is up, or, you know, this is how long the duration is on Stormlash or when that's going to come up. It's awesome. Like, I love that it shows both the duration of my current totem and what the cooldown left is on it. So I absolutely have to have totem timers. So that's probably the only class-specific add-on that I actually use and I actually recommend. You know, some people are like, you know, use Shock and Awe or this, and I'm sure they're great add-ons.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I've ever really needed. And the only other, I suppose you could almost consider Nug Combo Bar to be class-specific, but it's really not. It will show resources for any class whatsoever. And that one actually can kind of help with throughput, since that's kind of another question. Because that one for my Shaman Illtrak Maelstrom stacks, for my Druid Illtrak combo points, same thing with my Rogue, obviously. Illtrak Holy Power for Paladins. It will track pretty much anything for most resource-based classes. It also tracks my Chi as a monk, so that one can be super-duper handy, too, if you're looking for something that tracks your resources a little bit better.
I think the only one that I use, and this isn't class-specific by any means, but the main thing I use for tracking, and you already mentioned on ECC, and I use one called Inline Auras that also gives me some countdown timers, but I use Weak Auras. Mm-hmm. And my only gripe about Weak Auras is there it does take more effort than a lot of these other, like, out of the box, here this works, you know. But the quality of Weak Auras is just fantastic. You can set up, it's so customizable, it's almost overwhelming. But the good thing about these too is if you find a Weak Aura that you like, or, you know, I'll go into like Affinity Stream or you know, Lignar from the Epic podcast actually did a tutorial on this the other day. You can actually just export the string of what you have set up, and someone else can grab it and set it up and, you know, and tweak it to their liking. So it's real easy to share too. And it's great. I really, really like it. Besides having to figure it out half the time, but yeah, it's super cool. Yep. For throughput, really, the only thing I would add to that is, some classes, mainly caster classes, you need to know for your dots, you know, what is acceptable in terms of clipping and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, I don't think it's as much of a deal as it was before, but with Shadow Priest, you know, you really had to watch your dots, your Shadow Word Pain and your Vampiric Touch and all that, and try to get that refresh at the last second. Now, I think now they've taken a lot of the clipping off. I know with Elemental Shaman, I don't think clipping is even an issue anymore. I think it's more of paying attention and just keeping your dots up. But yeah, again, that's just going to go to knowing your class. I know Elamari is a big druid person, and with Feral Kitties, I know it was same thing. You know, keep your dots up. You don't want to spend your combo points here if you still have 8 seconds left on your rip or whatever it is. You know, so it's you know, just try to. I think Elitist Jerks still has some really good information on that. I think they tried to do away with a lot of clipping in general, though. So
yeah, And in on the topic of dots, you want to get yourself a solid dot timer. I've always used Dot Timer in the past. Dot Timer kind of had some issues, though, coming into Mist. They fixed those, I believe, the issues that they had. But since then, I've actually moved on to Forte Exorcist, which is both an excellent dot time tracker. I've also got a cooldown tracker of sorts, which is kind of redundant information on my current UI, but it seems like everybody that's seen any of my videos absolutely loves that for some odd reason. It's a pain in the butt to customize, but it can keep track of pretty much anything. I know with Warlocks, they're still having some issues with dot updating. So you still kind of have to watch your trinket procs like a hawk. That can completely track that. It can track the ICD on any weapon enchants. It can track pretty much anything that you want. It's a complete headache to set up, but it is absolutely slick.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how much is that an out-of-a-box, you're good to go thing, or is there a lot of tweaking to it?
I personally did a lot of tweaking to it. I found that, especially with the cooldown tracker, it was tracking absolutely everything for me. I do not need to know when my shocks are off cooldown, because those are ingrained. It's every 6 seconds, I believe. You know, that's a reflex for me at this point, so I didn't need that information. I didn't need to know when Stormstrike or Lava or Lash were up, because I've got mixed scrolling battle texts that ticks in my ear every time that those come off cooldown. So I filtered all that out. The only things I really kept on there, which again is redundant information, but on that slider, I've got my my main totem cooldowns on that, which of course is reflected also in totem timers. And then I've got, you know, like my bigger silly things like, you know, Jeeves or especially Ascendants. You know, because I've got to see when Ascendance is coming up. Plus, if you click on that little cooldown bar, it'll announce to Rage at how much time you've got left, which is sometimes handy, like back when I was still raiding pushing progression. You know, we're working on Windlord. And, of course, you can reset Windlord by just running away from him. And, of course, that doesn't reset Ascendance. So I would have to announce to chat saying, hey, we've got to wait this long. They're like, why do we always have to wait for your cooldowns? I'm like, because we're hitting enrage timers.
Yeah, because Ascendance is the best cooldown in the game right now.
Pretty much. So it's like, you know, come on, guys. I'm sorry that we have to wait, but for whatever reason, Blizz did not allow us to have a reset on 3-minute cooldowns. 2 minutes, it's no big deal, because that's usually up by the time we were all set. But Ascendance, that extra minute for some reason, just is not there. So it does do that. If you're feral, there are a couple of feral add-ons out there that can help with throughput. I'm trying to remember the name right now. It's like Druid Helper or something like that. Don't quote me on that. But
yeah, there was a Bad Kitty and
There's if you check out some of the newer Fat Boss guides, they have a feral point of view on a lot of their videos, and they do mention an add-on that the feral uses in that, which apparently is also customizable for the other specs, but it tracks the combos, it tracks your energy, it will, you know, give you specific timers on, like, Savage Roar, because sometimes that gets to be a pain to track in itself, because it doesn't show up on a dot timer. It has some really fancy utility. I haven't checked it out myself yet for my cat, but I've also got a really crazy cobbled thing together, so I don't really need something like that. And also, super customized, yes. And also, if you're looking for tips and tricks on throughput, especially if you're feral, I'm kind of getting the idea from you guys, this guy is, fluiddruid.net. If you can find that site and forums, the guy who runs that site is the feral writer for WoW Insider, and he is absolutely fantastic. His site's great. You know, he's got, I think there are a couple of different theory crafters that are associated with the site. And of course, they're also somewhat associated with the Inconspicuous Bear, who is also, you know, another, that's just an absolutely fantastic site for bears. I think Lasana is still doing some Druid stuff, possibly. But of course, that's more Moonkin. There's also, you know, no, actually, she might be Resto. Sorry, all the Druids, there's a huge Druid community.
Yeah, there's a huge,
if you find one Druid blog, you can usually find all the rest. And, of course, they've got awesome tips and tricks on how to improve throughput, which talents you should be choosing, stats, whatever that you need to find out. So just dig around, and you can definitely find the answers that you're looking for.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah. All right. I guess it's time to move on to the main topic for this evening. Soloing old raid content. Now, there's plenty of reasons to solo old raid bosses. We've mentioned some of them already. But maybe you're a pet battler extraordinaire and want the pets they added in the 5.1 vanilla raids. Or you could be a mount collector and want all the rare mounts, such as the Ashes, which we've mentioned, and the Onyxia mount. Maybe you're achievement hunting, or maybe yet the attendance boss has been kicking your raid team's butt the entire tier, and you just want to go bash some old raid boss faces in, not caring if they're old from old raids or not, just yes. So you can at least say you killed some raid bosses this week, clinging to some small measure of dignity and self-confidence. But that's not me. That's not me.
Whatever, man. I saw you soloing next, dude.
Yeah, hey, you did it the same time I did.
I know.
Whatever the reason is, you need a plan. So we brought Saz in today to help with that plan and give us some tips, tricks, and pointers. So why don't you get us started then on some of the basics or what we need to know?
All right, so if you want to solo something, there are quite a few different things you're going to have to keep in mind. First of all, you're going to want to try to get out of your basic cozy little raiding mindset, whatever you've got in, because you no longer have a tank taking the hits for you, nor do you have a healer behind you making sure that that fire that you're standing in doesn't kill you. So what you're going to want to do is kind of throw your old raiding mindset out the window, you know, the old habits. You're going to want to develop a few new ones. You're going to have to learn how to kind of, you know, take care of yourself. You're going to want to know what your cooldowns are, both defensive and offensively. You're going to be familiar with kind of what's going on around you. And of course, you're going to have to get over, like, this is one of my big things. You know, I've always kind of been that ballsy shaman that, you know, I was never scared to look a boss in the face, usually, unless it turned around and one-shot me. but you're going to have to get used to looking at the front side of a boss, especially as a melee. If you're ranged, if you're pet tanking class, you know, like a hunter or a warlock, you can pretty much just treat your pet as the tank. You're just going to have to be aware it's health. As a melee, though, you're going to have to get comfortable with a boss swinging at your face instead of smelling his farts. So it's a little bit it's a little bit of a different mindset. It's a little bit of a different song and dance. If you're used to tanking, not a big deal, really. It's just, you know, potentially a different class than you're used to or slightly different role. And of course, the cardinal rule, even in raiding, even in PvP, but especially in soloing, is you have to be aware of everything. Some of the older mechanics in the raids, they can kind of be ignored, you know, like you're fighting Grobulus and Nax or something. You can pretty much ignore his green smoke these days. It's not a huge deal. But if you're undergeared, you're a little bit squishy, you know, you don't know your utilities all that well, you're going to want to avoid it anyways. You know, going into something like the Kael'thas fight in TK, you know, he poops out a little thing of scorched earth at some points. You know, it doesn't really hurt, but if you're already short on mana as a caster, or you're already hurting as some other class, you're getting CC'd, you know, you want to stay away from that stuff, because it only ticks for 2k, but that 2k can add up on a, you know, 300-400k health pool over time if you're getting gibbed somewhere else.
Yeah.
So you want to be aware where your feet are. You're going to want to be aware, you know, when certain boss cooldowns are coming up, you know, big slashes, like, you know, for me, this week I was not in the right frame of mind when I started doing Sunwheel on my hunter, and I got to Brutalis and I just kept wiping and wiping. I'm like, what the heck is going on? I had no issue with this last week. What is the problem? And of course I had to, you know, tap out and go over to Wowhead and start looking at everything, and the guy's only got like 3 abilities. Not an overly complicated fight. But I've soon realized that, hey, I was standing in front of the boss. He does a meteor slash. After like 4 or 5 stacks of meteor slash, I couldn't live through the piddly little burn dot that he puts out. So simple solution, move off to the side so I don't get cleaved. After that, absolute cakewalk. You know, it's simple mechanics like that. You know, mechanics 101 of any raider is, you know, don't stand in front of the boss, especially if it cleaves, or if, you know, dragon rules, it cleaves, it's got a tail swipe.
Yeah.
As a pet tanking class, you're going to have to be aware of that rule still. As a melee class, you're going to have to sit there and take it to the face. So there are things like that. And of course, you're going to absolutely have to know your utility, especially if you're undergeared. Like, I am taking on a lot of these solo fights, especially like Sunwell, my hunter, who is still in half greens, you know, couple of 450 blues. You know, I'm not geared. I can't just burst past mechanics on that particular character. I have to know my utility. I have to know the strengths of my pets. I have to, you know, use Gift of the Naru because I'm a Draenei and I've got that utility to use. I have to watch Spirit Mend. I have to, you know, I have to be very aware of my utility kit. Now, as a shaman, you know, taking on like hard modes in Ulduar solo, that can really test you. You're going to have to know what your healing cooldowns are. You're going to have to know what your utility totems are. What are your defenses? You know, do I have to use Astral Shift for this fight, or do I have to use Stone Bulwark for this fight? You know, is this fight too long for a Primal Elementalist burst to actually be useful? Or, you know, do I need to stick with the standard Unleash Fury, or do I really, really, really need that extra burst? So do I need to go into Primal Elementalist for this particular fight? You know, swapping out your talents to get the better utility for the particular encounter you're taking on. So you're going to want to know, you know, your class inside and out, or at least well enough to gimp you through something. You know, don't be a noob like me and run into Anixia on your undergeared freshly 90 warlock and thinking you're going to take it down as affliction. It's not going to end well. You know, you're going to want to know the other classes, the other specs, you know, what the strong points are. You know, I had to switch over to Demo, and once I found out that, hey, there's that tanking glyph that reduces damage, we're in good shape. So it's definitely a game of knowing your class, knowing the different strengths and weaknesses of the various specs that class may have. Shaman specific, some soloing fights are much easier as elemental than it is Enhance. Other fights, Enhance will completely just get the job done. Well, Elemental, you'll struggle. You know, you're going to have to be flexible, kind of know what's going to happen, play to your strengths of your gear, know the fights, and above all, know your limits. You know.
So one of the
case
biggest.
In point,
so what you're saying is one of the biggest pieces of. One of the most important things to have in your bags is a couple stacks of Tomes of Clear Mind, is kind of what I'm getting here.
Jeez, yeah.
That can definitely help. I cannot tell you how many times, you know, I've gone into a fight and I'll get about halfway through and I go, crap, I forgot to change out to this glyph. Lately, it's been the fact that for some odd reason, I'm specced into, currently specced into Windwalk Totem on my main shaman. I don't remember why I did this. I don't know if I went into Mogushan and I wanted to use it for the Stone Guardian fight because, you know, you sit there and pop traps and then you're stuck to the floor for a while and you pop that and you're good. You can move again.
Good one, man, that's brilliant.
But usually I have Earth Grab, you know, I'm specced into Earth Grab because that can just CC so many things. You know, if you're doing Heroic Fang, you can, you know, do the roots on the little spirit shield theme mobs, whatever the crap they're called. It can be used on the ads for Will on Will of the Emperor. And most importantly is if you're slightly undergeared, it can be super duper handy on like Anixia because you can CC a couple of whelps that way, throw capacitor totem at a couple of others, and then take like another chunk and get those down and wait for the next wave so you don't get completely pummeled. There's been plenty of times where I've kicked myself for being specced into a wrong totem in that particular tier, or you know, this particular fight. Well, it would have been nice to have that 40% reduction instead of the lower amount of static reduction that Stone Bulwark has, or you know, or gee, I wish I had switched out of Unleashed Fury this time and I had that extra burst of Primal Elementalist. You know, you got to be kind of flexible, and you do always want that stack of Tomb of Clear Mind on you.
Well, you're like you're saying to know your utility. I have been soloing a lot of stuff on my monk lately, and I got really, really familiar with my self heals and the cooldowns on those and how I want to use those, and then started thinking, you know, taking some of my other classes in. A lot of classes do have some sort of self heal utility, and that's going to be huge. I know. You know, even on fights that to me aren't that hard, I know I didn't think Onyxia was that hard. It gets a little hairy a couple times if you're not paying attention. Tons of ads come out, you know, you get feared. So yeah, you gotta keep that stuff ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta be on your toes. You definitely just gotta know what your oh poop buttons are. it's definitely handy. You know, you gotta know how to control the situation, so letting the situation control you. It's definitely a game, especially when you're not quite familiar with the class. Like, you know, my Warlock, in Cataclysm, I didn't really play my Warlock a lot because they kind of sucked. You know, I played her quite a bit in Wrath, but, you know, everything's changed so very much since Wrath. I mean, completely different ballgame as far as that class is concerned, especially with the mist changes. So, you know, it's taken me a good bit of trial and error to figure out what works for me with her in regards to, okay, so for this fight, you know, I can do the Glyph of Supremacy and I can just have my big Felguard tank, no big deal, he's going to hold threat just fine because for some odd reason their threat is currently broken anyways, and I have no snowball's chance in hell pulling off him, good, I just have to watch his health, watch my health. No big deal. I can just whittle this thing down. It takes me forever to kill anything, but it dies. And then, you know, I go into something like the Kael'thas fight, where I don't want a pet necessarily because of that mind control. The mind control still happens if you've got a pet out. I had some issues with this last week with my hunter, trying to line of sight, and I was having pathing issues, and I couldn't get the line of sights hitting just right. So I take Grimoire of Sacrifice for my Warlock, so just before Kael'thas activates, I sacrifice my pet, I got that boost, you know, I don't need that pet tanking anymore, so you know, again, just, you know your utility, and you should be okay.
Okay, well, the next point we got here sounds almost obvious, as in know the fight, but I'm guilty of my first attempt on Onyxia was a couple weeks ago. I just went in there. I'm like, everyone's talking about. So I think it was after Rob got his mount after three attempts. But anyway, I'm like, I could do that. So I went in there and, I think I died once. I'm like, yeah, screw this. I'm out of here.
That's awesome.
That one is a special fight. It's not an overly difficult fight anymore because you no longer have to, you know, you can solo. You don't have to worry about, you know, Leroy Jenkins over there, you know, getting tail swiped into the ads and having all of these whelps all over the place, you know, disconnecting half the raid and the other half just dying massively. And your healers are insta one shot by 30 whelps at once. You don't have to worry about that anymore. It's fairly, you know, straightforward. You pull it to the back of the thing, you DPS are down, phase two, you know, you kind of muck around. But you definitely want to know kind of where you sit and how to control all those adds. And it can definitely be interesting depending on the class that you're rolling with. Something like a melee class, like an enhancement shaman, if you cannot kind of burn her through phase two, while she's still in phase one, technically, you're going to have a little bit of an issue getting her out of the sky again. We don't really have that many range abilities, unfortunately.
Yeah, monks are the exact same way. I've got like one thing I can do.
You sit there and spam the J-Crackle lightning stuff.
Come down, please.
Please, come down. If you're a warrior or something, just sitting there chucking, you know, your little throw weapon. And was it?
Yeah.
I can't even remember what their big one throw is.
The 5-minute cooldown throw one?
No. There's a shorter cooldown one. I was playing my warrior the other day, so I remember. I just don't remember what it's called. But yeah, that's definitely one fight that you're going to want to walk into knowing. Same thing with like the Kael'thas fight. You're not going to want to go in there thinking you're just going to push it over. because if you do that, it will push you over instead. You know, like we'll take the Kael'thas, for example, because that is a fairly good prime example of you wanting to kind of know what's going on. If you walk in there as a caster, you're going to have a fairly easy time of it. You know, I use the term fairly loosely because as an undergeared caster, you're going to probably have some mana issues. Like when I was in there, when my second shaman was still elemental, her gear was absolutely just garbage. But she had the advantage of not getting CC'd because you can pick up the pink staff, the staff that does all the magi moves. If you have that on inactivated, you cannot get conflicted by the mage chick, and you cannot be a victim to the engineer's effects with remote toy. Those are probably the two biggest killers out of anything in there, if you get chain CC'd by those two things. And as a caster, you can completely negate this. But as an undergeared elemental shaman, I was running into the issue of mana, trying to take on that particular phase, trying to heal myself while DPSing them down enough. I was burning more mana than I could generate back. As enhancement, I don't have the luxury of picking up that staff because, lo and behold, just trying to kill anything with a staff is good game. You're going to be here forever. So you have to burst everything down, and chances are you are going to come out under the effect of toy. You are going to get conflict out the wazoo. You are going to be susceptible to fears, although you can just tremor totem out of that. And of course, you've got to deal with Mr. Silency Pants that knocks you all over the place, which, again, isn't a huge deal as enhanced. The knockbacks kind of suck, but you know, your Storm Strike and Level Ash can't get silenced, at least. Plus, as an enhancement shaman, with your healing, if you've got your wolves out, that's huge passive healing. If you've got, you know, if you're Draenei, you've got the passive Gift of the Naru. You've got Maelstrom Generations, which is super cheap healing, which if you're glyphed into Healing Storm, that's a huge heal. Plus, it can echo. That heal can echo if you're specced into Echo of Elements. So, again, you got to know your utility. You kind of got to know what you're up against. And yeah, you got to know when to hit those big cooldowns. Like, I tend to hit all of my big burst cooldowns in that third phase there where all the adds come back alive together so I can try to at least kill the engineer before toy goes out. I keep trying to kill the mage before she manages to get a conflict out. Hasn't been happening too well lately. So I only get like one storm blast off, unfortunately. But as long as I can get the engineer down before toy goes out, or hopefully pray to the Azerothian gods that be, that he toys something else, like my elemental or one of my wolves or something,
right,
outside of me, you know, then RNG is on my side. But again, if I do get a bad string of RNG, which I do get a lot, I still have to know, you know, as soon as I come out of this conflict, I get to hit Shamanistic Rage because I'm starting to hurt, you know, and I may not get that chance to drop a healing tide, or I might not get to use Maelstrom procs for a heal because, you know, right behind it I might get a toy proc. So, you know, you kind of got to know the mechanics that you're up against. And of course, you know, you can't just waltz into other fights like Serpent Shrine Cavern without kind of knowing the fights either, because a lot of those, even though they're, you know, three expansions back now,
there's a mechanic. Yep. Some of the I know a lot of them are like the chess event in Karazhan. It doesn't matter what your health pool is or what gear you have. You know, it kind of looks past all that. And there's a lot of fights that look They do percentage-based damages. Mm-hmm. Or
That first fight in Hyjal there, if you are not watching out for that Death and Decay, if you do not run away from that Death and Decay real quick, because that is percentage-based. Not to mention, the Death and Decay area is actually bigger than the graphic that they put on the ground. Yeah. So if you are not aware of this, you're just dead. I mean,
I kind of forgot about the hard way.
We all did the first couple times in there.
What the heck just happened? Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm 85. That shouldn't... And there's like three or four of us in there. What is going on?
I know. And all of a sudden we all wipe. It's like, what happened?
Yeah.
I went back in there to just see if I could solo that place in a couple of weeks back. And I actually completely forgot about that mechanic being health-based. I'm like, what the heck? My health's going down. You know, hit Shamanistic Rage and throw a heal on me, and then I was dead. I was like, wait a minute. What? I was like, oh, crap. Wait, that's percentage-based.
It's good to get those little checks, though, so you know. Take it seriously.
It keeps you on the goes. Yeah. It's like, yes, this is easy contact, but at the same time, it's gonna push some things in that you really don't want pushed in, so... definitely go in with a plan that helps, or be very good at making a plan up on the fly. If you've got that as one of your strengths, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Go ahead, man.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You're up.
No, I think we had covered all the main things. I know that Saz has a whole page talking in depth about a lot of this stuff. I guess I was going to ask you, what is your favorite solo fight?
That's kind of hard to pick, because, I mean, I've been soloing some of these things for so long, it just kind of all muddles together.
But they're not
fun
anymore, If you've been trying to get ashes for however many times now, it's probably not that fun of a fight anymore.
Yeah, ashes, Kael'thas fight can be kind of fun, assuming that RNG plays on your side. EOE is actually a very fun solo, to an extent. Assuming you know what to do with the dragons in phase 3, I actually, for a while there's this weird little hitch that happens. Like, if you do, say, Tempest Keep first, I have the soloing rotation, often I do Tempest Keep first, and then I'll go to one of the 10-man raids, either Onyxia or, for a long while, it was EOE as well, and if you're not actually looking at your raid difficulties, you'll waltz in on level 25-man raid.
Oh, right.
I have actually downed Onyxia 25-man style accidentally once.
Oh,
like, I got in there, and I went... I just hit all my cooldowns. My Fire Elemental just despawned, and she's not in phase 2 yet. Oh. I looked up in my little top corner of my UI, and it said 25-man. I was like, well, crap. Well, I'm not going to wipe. Let's see how far I could take this.
You should have got the mount just for that.
It was a struggle. It felt exactly like trying to solo Onyxia at level 85, before you had Ascendance to take her out of the sky. It was just absolutely painful, but it was really kind of cool at the same time. And then one day I was like, well, I just zoned into EOE, and of course I started up the fight, and I'm like, crap, I'm on 25-man. Well, let's see how far this goes. And, of course, I get into phase 3 finally, and I wipe to Enrage, and I'm like, I can do this. Like, let's try this again. Like, I tried it 3 or 4 times before I finally got it down, but it's like, on the 10-man... it's fairly easy. It's a fairly quick burn. There's really no risk in doing it. If you know the mechanics, you know what's going on. So I was doing it on 25 just to push myself, just to see if I could do it. And to me, that's the thrill of soloing right there, is pushing yourself personally to see if you can actually do it. Now, I don't do this. Once I got that down on 25-man, I did not continue to farm it on 25-man. I, of course, went back to 10. And I, of course, did not try 25 on the Elts at all.
Just, why punish yourself? Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Go easy mode for the farms. But, just to try it, just to see if I actually had both the skill and the gear to carry myself through that. Like, I also keep... I keep going back to Obsidian Sanctum 3D25 to see if I quite have the burst. If I had continued on raiding this tier, I quit back in December just because it wasn't fun for me anymore. But had I continued on, I would probably be fairly decked out in heroic gear. I would have, you know, my four set and everything like that right now. And I probably could burst down Sartharion, because I was getting fairly close with what is my current gear. But I kept wiping at like 20%. Like, I just did not quite have enough burst. Yep. Granted, at the time, the last time I tried it, I also was not speccing into Primal Elementalist, which, even though that particular talent is not the strongest for the current raid tier for 5-1 stuff, it is actually the best for burst. And it is absolutely awesome for soloing contents, especially on bosses that can push your face in real quick, something like Patchwork. On 10 man, if you're undergeared, Patchwork 10 could be a bit of a problem. 25 man, I can't outburst him yet on 25 man yet either, but, you know, stuff like that, something like that.
He gave me a little face check, man. I wasn't really paying attention. I was like, oh, yeah, Patchwork, yeah. And then next
Patchwork,
thing I was like, oh, crap.
Hateful strikes. Yes, hateful strikes will get you every time. So, but yeah, back to the original question. It's so hard for me to pick a favorite fight, because any fight that can give me any sort of an adrenaline rush still and can still get me excited about trying to push myself on the next mode of difficulty, I absolutely love. You know, I'm kind of that chronic lover of the challenges and the rushes, so it's hard.
You're a little junkie there, huh?
A little bit.
have you tried, what's the most recent content that you've tried? Have you tried any Kata raids? Or
I have not tried Kata raids because I have not completely finished my Wrath raids yet. I haven't done everything on 10, 25 man in heroic modes as of yet. I've kind of slowed down on some of that stuff. The most current that I've tried to solo was actually ICC the other night, and unfortunately I couldn't get past ship.
It's
mainly
some mechanic issues.
It was actually pathing issues. I wasn't able to always jump over to the other ship right away. Like, it kept saying, not line of sight, which even you can't do ship on heroic mode by yourself. Unfortunately, the other ship just does too much damage too quickly for you to circumvent that. But on normal mode, it is a very, very tight squeeze. It is possible. There are people who have confirmed you can solo it. Unfortunately, it requires perfect timing and just getting that mage down with the quickness and being able to jump back over. Spending 15, 20, 30 seconds trying to jump between ships it's absolutely going to decimate you.
Yeah.
And that's where I was. It's like, you know, I start off the fight, the first quarter of the fight, I'm way ahead, and by the time I get to that last 15, 20% of the health on both ships, they're neck and neck, and that last freeze always gets me because of line of sight issues.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to try and clear out the rest of that yet. I'm hoping this weekend I'm able to pull a buddy in just so we can get shipped down so I can go through and do everything else. I'm not sure if I can solo heal Dreamwalker yet. I don't know if she despawns if I go around by myself. I'm going to have to test that out. But that is the plans for this weekend, to hopefully finish that up. I'm going to hopefully start tackling tier 11, possibly solo cell. It'll probably only be 10 man. It'll probably only be normal mode because I'm not a death knight, unfortunately.
Right.
Those darn
or
pesky
level,
blood death
or
knights.
Or a level 80 paladin or whatever the heck it was.
Yeah, a level 80 paladin with the mastery hacks, which I believe they've hot fixed.
Yeah, so. They fixed that real quick, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't have that class OP-ness, but I am going to try it. I really, really wish I could solo the Council in Throne of the Four Winds, just because I would love to be able to farm Alakir for his mount.
Man.
I also need to start getting into Firelands, because you can solo Alice Razor for her mount. I tried that a good month or two back, but I kept dying to trash. Lo and behold, if you're crafty, you can actually just walk past all the trash, assuming that their little path thingy mobs, you can work around that. You can actually get it to Alice Razor without having to deal with any of that trash.
When Firelands very, very, very first opened up, like before we even went anywhere near it, I went in on my kitty and just stealthed around just to look at it. I grouped up with somebody in the guild and was just looking around. I went all the way up to Stompy or you know,
mm-hmm.
Rylith, and I got lost up in the rocks in the mountains somewhere, and I couldn't get out. I had to hearth out eventually, but yeah, it was. that was cool. You can get around in there pretty easily. But.
Yeah. But as a non-stealth class, you've got to be a little more crafty, which is how you want.
Yeah.
But I didn't know you could sneak past the trash until I went in with another group that, you know, they were working on a staff for somebody. And, you know, they're like, well, you just do this and this and this, and you walk around in this way, and you got to wait for this pat, and then you scoot past him. And I was like, well, color me surprised. You know, now I can possibly do this as long as I figure out how to do Alice Racer trash by myself. And then, you know, there's already how-to videos on YouTube on how to solo her. So I'm going to hopefully check that out here pretty soon once I get these other two mount farms done, which could be yours yet. Who knows?
No, you got them. They're yours.
Yeah, hopefully one of these months. I'm excited. It's coming.
I believe in you. Hey, if I can get Onyxia in 3 weeks, I think...
You're not making friends, Rob.
Since Love Lady 5. Come on, man.
Oh, no. I know. I'm kind of like, shoot, man, if I go on and try, like, Ashes or something, like, no, it's going to drop, and freaking Hoof, it's going to kill me.
You'll probably kick you from the guild.
Some people just have that mount luck. I knew a guy back in Wrath. He was one of our OP hunters. This guy just had the luck of the gods. He walked in and he got the Death Charger mount off of what's his face in Stratholme.
Yeah, Stratholme, yeah.
Yep, he got that first go. Very... It took me 200 and some odd tries.
Oh my god!
Oh, wow. Dear. My luck resides in getting loot on my shaman, like main spec agility loot. Like I was the best geared person on my server for a long time, one of the best geared shamans in the world for a long time. Because the first week, you know, my guild did Shaw of Anger, and I got 2-set right then.
Oh, dude, that's awesome!
Wow,
I got the pants from the drop, and I got the gloves from the bonus roll, and of course, I got boots from the boss itself. I'm an engineer, so I had a crafted helm. I crafted myself a trinket. Like, I was decked out.
You were killing it.
Right out the gate. Yeah. I've always had great luck with gear for my main spec on my shaman, but I'll be damned if I can have any sort of luck getting the things that I actually desire, which is mounts. You know, I was one of the last people to get the Corrupted Firehawk off of Ragnaros when we were farming it. You know, one of the last people to get my Handmaiden's mount off of Heroic
Deathwing.
Always one of the last people to get the specialty mounts like that. And of course, you know, my solo mounts is just, some of the tallies I have are just sickening. And I'm like, why do I do this to myself?
So you can make cool videos and inspire people.
Yes, and I do. I do love to collect it. That's like with where one of my passions have been since sometime in Wrath. You know, collecting the mounts, collecting the pets. I don't know why. I'm just kind of a hoarder. I've got, for the longest time, I had pretty much every tier set ever for a shaman. I've had to delete a few sets since then because I have zero space for anything anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm one of those weird little hoarders in WoW.
Yeah, I saw your bags in some of your UI screenshots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I saw any open slots, but
it's pretty bad. I think I'm up to 10 right now currently, free spots, because I got rid of a few things. But
why so many?
It gets bad. Because I just, when I start farming, doing those dailies, man, you know how much space daily items take up.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Yep. If there's one thing that they did right, though, right now, I gotta say, like, this whole thing, being able to play a very individual solo game, still be part of the community, still really be invested and have fun, but being able to solo these bosses and go and get the pets and get the mounts, man, they're doing it right. I think that it really shined
something.
Put the spotlight on. Yeah, exactly. And that's very cool. Very, very, very cool.
Yeah, and for somebody like me, it's like I'm not a big group person. Like, I've always loved raiding. I've always kind of, I kind of do like that group scenario. But outside of that, I'm one of those weird, shy, recluse type people. So doing solo stuff like this, I'm just absolutely in love. I don't have to deal with bickering. I don't have to deal with, you know, loot traumas. I don't have to deal with mount traumas. I can just go in and just kind of do my thing. If I screw up, doesn't matter. I'm not wasting anybody else's time. I don't have to worry about somebody else screwing up a mechanic. You know, it's all on me. It's pushing my limits. It's on my time. If I want to get up and AFK for 20 minutes, grab a sandwich, watch a TV show, and stand in front of a boss for that long, it doesn't matter. Nobody can gripe at me. It's very, very soothing. Except for, you know, when you get RNG Gibbed on Kill Thassa, then it's just frustrating. But otherwise, it's very, for me at least, it's a very soothing pastime to just, you know, hop into an old raid, go get that pet that they just introduced, you know, try out these new mechanics, you know, kind of get a feel for, you know, whatever new utility they've added in this patch, you know. It's definitely a very cool thing, and I think in some ways it's very unintended on their part, you know, to have that kind of a reaction, because they're very much, you know, go in with your guild and kill this, and now they're giving us, who really don't care to always do that, we don't care to be attached to our guilds 24/7, you know, to just kind of go out and kick it by ourselves and still kill those pixels, still slay those dragons and get rewards for it. I mean, it's very, very cool.
Definitely, definitely.
Well said. Absolutely.
All right, so I think that was a very good discussion. And I think we are ready to move on. So let's hit it with this.
Maggot of the Week.
I love that
still
intro.
Makes me laugh. I have to mute it because I'm like,
All right. Saz, you brought a macro for us for our macro of the week.
Yes, I did. This is a very, very simple macro for a very simple shaman. It's not one of those fancy-dancy macros because, quite frankly, I am not a macro person. I've never really been a macro person. I'm sorry. I know. I'm in bad company with this topic, but, you know, I've never completely understood, you know, how to put together a macro or really fully utilize them to the best abilities. And not to mention, for a shaman, there isn't a ton of macros really that...
Don't you dare say that to hand.
that really, you know, help us out, because we're not... You know, most classes these days are absolutely, you cannot do cast sequence macros anyways.
No, because
nobody it's just those. Bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't really do that. I mean, the extent as far as a basic rotation for an enhancement shaman goes, you could maybe do a shock macro, which even a shock macro to tie together your flame and earth shock macros, I mean, even that, sometimes they get so situational that you don't want them macroed to something. But... there are a couple of things that I do tie together. One of them being currently is Ascendance and Fire Elemental Totem. I mainly do this for openers. It's just a simple slash cast Ascendance slash cast Fire Elemental Totem. I use this on openers. It's super duper handy to get that burst out right out of the gate, because as an enhancement shaman, you've got so many buttons to push right out the gate if you want that max burst right off the pull. You know, you're worrying about your pre-pot, then you're worrying about Ascendance and your Fire Elemental and your Wolves, and if you're like me, you know, Wolves and your Synops Springs and Stormlash Totem and oftentimes Heroism or Lust. So you often have, you know, 5-6 things that you've got to push all at once, so you're going to want to tie a few things together. And I like to put Ascendance and Fire Elemental Totem together because they go so well together. And Ascendance does not take a global cooldown to cast. Once you hit it, it's there. There is no global cooldown reset. You know, you don't have to wait that second or whatever for you to be able to click something else. So I put those two together. Now, with the changes coming in 5.2 and with Primal Elementalist being potentially one of our bigger talent choices for that final tier 6 talent choices, you know, this may even come into play where we might start using the glyph of Fire Elemental Totem. Now, what this glyph does is it reduces the cooldown of the Fire Elemental down to 3 minutes, which in turn will perfectly align Ascendance with the Fire Elemental cooldown. So, 2 3-minute cooldowns, man. Pop them at the same time. This is assuming, of course, that, you know, the shorter duration of the Fire Elemental is worth it. I'm still waiting kind of to hear what the Theorcrafters say about this, because I haven't really heard anything more specific on that particular glyph. It may be one of those situational glyphs still.
Right, right.
Well, if that works with Call of the Elements, man, that's going to be huge.
It may. I don't know if Fire Elemental will actually fall under the ability to use with Call of the Elements or not. But it may. And if that was the case, that'd be kind of cool. But I'm losing my train of thought here a little bit. But oh, yeah.
That's what we do here. We derail.
Yeah.
It's okay. Assuming, though, that Fire Elemental does not, you know, we end up not using that glyph, it can get a little funky at times. I actually have Ascendance cast first, mainly because, again, it doesn't have that global cooldown reset. Plus, it'll actually, on my bars where I have it, it'll show the Ascendance when it's up versus when my Fire Elemental Totem is up.
Right, right.
So I always have that visual of when Ascendance is up, and I've always got my Fire Totem elsewhere, or I'm tracking it in Totem Timers itself. Now, come 5-2, again, they're changing a lot of our secondary, well, I call them secondary talents, but they're the Tier 4 talents, the Ancestral Swiftness, and the Elemental Mastery. Those are both on 1.5-minute cooldowns, which is, of course, half the duration of Ascendance. Mm-hmm. So you can line those up very, very well, haste-wise, with the haste more bursts. So potentially it may also be beneficial to tie one of those to Ascendance instead of your Fire Elemental. So it definitely has some flexibility. I definitely suggest possibly looking into tying in Ascendance with something else like that. So, you know, you have maybe potentially one less button on your bars, or at least one less button on your bars that you have to ever click or bind. So that's kind of handy.
I never...
Do you use it? Go ahead.
Yeah, I never paid attention to Ascendance not having a global cooldown. Now my mind's spinning, the gears are turning. Like, yeah. Where can I make macro space? I have no room for more macros. Where can I use this? How can I use Ascendance? Because it has no global cooldown. What can I do? Mm-hmm. What can I do?
I do have to warn that sometimes it is a little, I don't know if it's just because of the way I have my macro. It's not, you know, an official macro. It's just a slash use, technically, mm-hmm. macro. That sometimes when I'll hit Ascendance, my Fire Elemental does not always want to go down right away. So you kind of got to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of watch it like a hawk, and you'll usually be okay. As long as you don't do like a very quick click on it, it will go through. So, you know, you can't just, you know, shadow right. click it or yeah. whatever. Hold it down for that fraction of a second and you should be okay.
You do use a stop cast macro on your interrupt, don't you?
No, I have no need to. As Enhancement Shaman, I don't really cast ever. I hard cast on occasional, you know, on...
I guess that's just ingrained into me, because I would play Elemental and Resto. So
yeah, see, if I was a full-time caster, then yes, it would be in there, especially if I was still playing Elemental and had Unleash Lightning. I believe that's what it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you can run around. You can't just jump and stop.
I know.
Oh yeah.
Like, it still
weirds me out. I'm like, jump, jump, jump. It's still going. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm actually having issues with that with my Warlock currently. It's like I want to stop something and I'm jumping around, but I've got Kil'jaeden's Cunning in there.
Yes, that's like, the other spot. Yeah, that was also like I actually specced out of Kil'jaeden's Cunning because it was pissing me off.
Oh, I absolutely love that thing. Kiting things around while draining life and just, oh, it's so good. But yeah, nice. I do. I actually should. Like, my Warlock is one of the few characters that I have ever invested pure, actual, good macros into, because Warlocks, for some reason, just have always needed them. Like, back in Wrath and in part of Cataclysm, you had to have one to pop meta as Demonology. Mm-hmm. So I may have to actually invest in a stopcast macro for her just so I can do, you know, interrupt or stop when I actually need to and switch over to something else, some other spell I need to cast. But yeah, as far as enhancement goes, I do not have something in like that because, again, the only time I'm really hard casting anything, or ideally hard casting anything, is, you know, when I've only got 3 versus 5 stacks of Maelstrom and I'm just popping off the lightning bolts when I have nothing else to cast. Hard casting might be more of a thing come 5-2 just because of how our new resources will act with our 2-piece. We're going to have more resources, and in order to not waste them, we'll have to hard cast a little more. But otherwise, everything is enhanced as instant. So there's really no need for a stop cast.
Stop tempting me to try enhancement.
Dude, yes. So much fun. Oh, it is such a good time. Once you get past...
I'm a Windwalker monk, so that, I get that melee. Between that and my Fury Warrior, man, I'm like... enhancement sounds so cool.
It is. It's such a fun spec, and it's not one of those that, you know, it's not really proc-based. The only procs we have are the Maelstrom stacks, so it's not like you're sitting there playing, you know, guess what you're going to have to hit next.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's not like a Feral or a Monk where you're sitting there waiting for certain resources to regen and then waiting on combo points. It's nothing like that. You're not sitting there waiting for Rage to regen. It's a very predictable priority rotation to deal with. It has a ton of utility, and for me personally, I have always believed it's been a very aggressive spec to play. You know, it is kind of in your face. Here's a Wind Fury crit to your face. Here's, you know, this crazy blast of Storm Blast to your face when you're in Ascendance. It is so cool, and, you know, it does have its downsides. Like, our AoE system, our current AoE system is a bit clunky to use.
Yeah,
like to set up and to use.
Yeah, it's got build up time.
Yeah, it definitely has the setup time, but it's still much better than it used to be in Cataclysm. Oh, yeah. So I'm not going to complain.
Improved, and, definitely.
And once you get it rolling, the numbers are fairly good.
So, I've been a little spoiled by the LOL spinning crane kick, though. So.
And LOL spinning crane kick does do probably as much, if not more, damage than flame shot.
You just keep up your tiger palm and your rising sun, and just like spinning crane kick, keep rolling.
It's so freaking awesome. Yeah, but enhancement definitely will keep you a bit on your toes. Like I said, it's got a lot of buttons to hit. It's a very button-heavy spec. A lot of people don't like that about it. They're like, there's too many buttons. And then there's the people like, there's dead space here. And it's like, no, there's a reason why the rotation has that little brief moment of serenity of you just sitting there doing nothing. Because that's the time where you check on, you know, hey, what's the raid status? Do I need to pop, you know, astral guidance here? Or, you know, hey, you know, can I do a refresh on Searing Totem here if, you know, you don't have an elemental up at that point? You know, that's the spot where you drop your healing stream totem. You know, it's one of those utility gaps is essentially what I refer to it as. It's that moment where you can start, you know, looking at utilities, planning what you're going to do next. Do I have, you know, a target swap to hit here? You know, people, I fear, just do not understand that brief little brain break is actually super necessary for that particular spec.
That's a really cool way to look at it. I would have probably just naturally said the same thing. Stop, I need to go. What are you doing?
I need more buttons to hit.
Right.
No, you have buttons to hit. You just got to think outside the box a little.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. All right, let's get on to this.
A handler, it's funky cause he's Canadian. Well, handler.
Oh, I love that one too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
As always, I need to send some handlove to our guild on the Deathwing server, the Hoarderlies. As well, in that guild, we have Root and Freckleface from the Hearthcast podcast, and I need to send them some hand love. And as well, I need to send some hand love to our guest Saz for coming on today. Very great discussion and a lot of good information on soloing raid content. I want to thank you as well for coming. That was great.
Thank you very much for having me. I mean, this has been a lot of fun. So I'm always excited when I get to nerd about the things that, you know, I really enjoy, Handsome Shaman soloing, all that stuff. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to nerd vent a little bit.
Yeah, it's contagious, man. It's like, I'm all, enhancement.
Try it. Just saying.
Well, I want to give a big thank you to all of our listeners, our Twitter and Facebook friends, and everybody that participates and comments back. We really, really, really appreciate it, because that's kind of what makes the show for us as well. A special shout out to my boy Jacob Roberts over on Twitter. I know things are a little rough, but I'm thinking about you. Get better and get back in Azeroth so we can kick some butt, man.
All right, and I guess this is my time to do some little shout-outs.
Yeah.
All right, I'd like to throw a shout-out to all my Twitterland rating people. You know, thanks again, guys, for helping me get my legendary this week. I know not everybody was there for me actually getting it, but so many people have taken some small part in this over the past year, so you guys have got all my love. You know, you guys are the reason why I'm still bothering keeping this project alive. Of course, I'd like to give the shout-outs to the guys who make it absolutely possible for me to keep Twitterland rating going, which is Engine. They've been so super kind to us by, you know, hosting us for free. It's just, thank you guys. You know, I hope I can do you guys justice. And also to Vaite. If you guys don't know, he does the Safe Shark hosting. Yep. He's that guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually the guy who's hooked us up with our domain name, so I'd like to give much love to him for that. If you guys, you know, need some hosting done, definitely please check him out. He, from the sounds of it, he does some pretty amazing services, so check him out. And, of course, you know, thanks to you guys once again for, you know, having me along. I very much appreciate it. This has been a ton of fun, so thanks, guys.
Yeah,
no problem. It was great. You're red, remember, Rob?
Ah, dude. Well, we were going to move on to five-star reviews, but sounds like some of you guys out there have been slacking a little bit. So, we have we did a contest this week. We kind of flipped it from the one we did previously. Hand levels about as well as he tans. So he's only got two level 90s right now.
I level better than I tan.
Yeah, right.
Oh, boy.
So the contest this week was to guess the class of Hand's second level 90. And to tweet it back to us in binary, because we are celebrating the Ask Mr. Robot premium account giveaways. So we had a few answers. I don't know. I know I saw a hunter in there. A
couple druids.
Druids, huh?
Yeah.
No, we've actually forbid him from playing on his druid, because that's how.
Yeah,
hand healing on a druid. Yeah,
doesn't go so well.
But we had two correct answers. His second level 90 is a
paladin,
and our correct answers came from Ben Reddington and Elizabella from the Epic Questions podcast over there with Epic Insanity and Elizabella. And did we roll on this yet? Did we figure out which
one? I have
one?
The Hoarderly's chat room open right now so that I can use the roll feature again. We'll give Ben number one, Elizabella number two, and the winner is Elizabella.
Oh, Elizabella! Did she?
I need to get a drum roll for this.
Yeah, seriously. Where's our soundboard, man? I know she has been entering every single week, and really she's a huge, huge, huge fan of Ask Mr. Robot. So congratulations to Elizabella. AMR premium account. I'll get that set up for you there. If you're listening, go ahead I got your in-game name or whatever your Ask Mr. Robot username is. Send that over to me and I'll get you hooked down with that.
All right, Saz, this is your chance to tell everyone how they can reach you. You got a blog, your Twitter, Facebook, anything you got. Let them know where to reach you.
All right, so if you want to find any of my content, I'm I'm pretty easy to find these days. If you do any kind of search for, you know, who says, or not who says, but says or Serenity says in Google. Forget that Google's not like in game. You can't slash who me. But my blog is World of Says. You can find that at serenitysays.blogspot.com. You can find me on Twitter at serenitysays. And of course, if you search for me on both YouTube and Facebook, again, that will be under Serenity Says. If you guys ever need specific one-on-one questions answered, I, of course, got my email listed on my blog. I'm very easily contacted. If you got questions, I'm most happy to answer them on Twitter as well. So, you know, hit me up if you need tips on soloing, if you need any kind of advice in enhancement shamaning. I will absolutely love to help you out, point you in the right direction, point you towards some resources if you need them. So yeah.
If you want to be inspired.
Yeah, if you need some inspiration. Well, I am the great instigator.
Yeah. Well, I know I use your blog. I personally go to your blog when I need help with my enhancement shaman. So I use that.
Yeah. Well, if you need other shaman information, either enhancement or elemental, and you're a bit more, you want more theory crafty based stuff, you know, not the watered down stuff that I do, Totem Spot is a great place to go. I should have given Finkenstein shout out a little bit earlier.
Yep.
But yeah. Bink has an awesome site there if you need enhancement or not resto, but elemental stuff there. Bink's also got some great haste point break card things.
I use those words.
They're great. Yeah, those are great for...
He does all the math.
He does all the math. He's been working on a lot of caster stuff that isn't just shaman related. Mm-hmm. If you need resto information, I know some stuff about resto. I will admit that I'm not the best at, you know... I don't min-max resto as hard as I do with enhancement. But if you are looking for a resto theory crafter, Life in Group 5 is an awesome blog. Vixen is an awesome theory crafter. I do believe she's still putting out content, so check her out.
All right. Well, I think that does it for episode 33 of The Training Dummies. I want to thank Saz again for coming along with us today.
That's Saz.
Yep. Be sure to check out our website, thetrainingdummies.com. If you'd like to contact any of us or the show, our information is there. We also encourage you to leave some comments on the episodes. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, like us at facebook.com/thetrainingdummies, or follow the show on Twitter at Training Dummies. You can follow Rob at Rob Copeland and myself, Hend, at Hend_Hoarderlies. If you have a question, please don't hesitate to email or record an MP3 and send it to the show at thetrainingdummies.com. And as well, you can also send us a voicemail via our website. Just look for the widget on the right side of the page. Thank you and good night.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!